is a blessing and uplifting and brings hope and joy to those that are around you. Thank you for being here. In this world that we have today, who cares? Who cares? Nobody cares. Nobody understands me. Nobody can relate. But folks, that's not true. Because he cares for you. I know times in our lives that we've had enough. There's times in our lives we don't want to deal with today. There's times in our lives we've got to answer for things that's happened in our past. There's times in our lives that we feel alone. And those are the times we should remember. He cares for you. He hasn't given up on us. He has plans for each and every one of us. He loves each and every one of us. As we look at our passages this morning that are part of our lesson, that sounds easy. We can make a list out of this passage, right? Humble yourselves. Cast your care on him. In due time, be patient and wait for what God has in plan for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Resist the devil. Stand fast in your faith. Don't forget, you're not alone. Everybody else is suffering. There's people all over the world. There's millions of people going through the same thing that you're going through. And the God that has the powerful grace to forgive. Yeah, we're going to suffer. But folks, we'll never suffer like those people suffered that were in captive that we talked about in Bible class this morning. None of us are going back to Babylon. None of us are going to have to endure Nebuchadnezzar. We may think we do with some of the leadership that happens in today's world. After you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Folks, this passage to me is so convicting of my daily life. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to have to deal with the devil. I want to think about what I got to deal with today. Not the brotherhood of the world. I can take care of all my cares myself. But that's not what God's Word tells us in this passage, folks. I'm going to press on towards the mark. I want to be a warrior for the kingdom of God. I'm not going to back down from somebody that's preaching falsehoods or teaching people half-truths. But yet I got to humble myself. I have to wait in due time. I have to recognize the doors that are opened. I have to realize it's not me. I have to cast my cares upon him. I have to remember that he cares for me, no matter what I'm going through. Not only does he care for me, but he cares for my wife, for my children, and the elders and their wives and families, and the deacons and their wives and families, and our widows and their families, and our shut-ins and their families. That's how God is unbelievable, how much he cares. He cares so much, he reminds us to be sober and be vigilant. Be sober and be vigilant.
Folks,
Folks, we've got a great program going on here with the CASA program, and a lot of it talks about being sober and being vigilant. Many lives have been ruined. Marriages, jobs, families, by not being sober and not being vigilant. And we talked about this morning in Bible class about the adversary, the devil. Resist him. Resist him. So if I'm going to tell Brother Tom, you need to resist the devil today, and he's going to say, how do you do that? Well, God tells you to do that. Well, how does God tell me to do that? And the neat thing about it is, it's right here, isn't it? By standing fast to your faith. To know that you're not the only one. To remember he cares for you. Loneliness is one of the biggest tools in the devil's toolbox. Make you feel you're the only one. You're the only parent that's got a child that's going through this. No, you're not. You're the only grandparent going through the same issues with your kids and grandkids. No, you're not. You're the only person at work that's going through this. No, you're not. You know why I can tell you you're not? Because God's word is truth, and God's word tells us you're not. That's Satan telling us and trying to trick us. And he's giving up. Because what happens when I'm not steadfast in my faith and I don't remember that God cares for me? Do I feel established? Do I feel strengthened? Do I feel settled or at peace? Do I feel like I'm perfect, whole, complete, a good child and citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Those are, when we feel that we're not, folks, Satan, get behind me. Something Satan is tempting us with. He is tempting us with mental things that hinder us from glorifying God in our lives. And you know, the neat thing about this verse, the passage of scripture we just looked at, the preceding verses talk about things that we should be. The elders who are among you, I'm losing my voice and I got sinus running, so please be patient with me a little bit. I'm not going to give up because that's happening to me this morning. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, I guess I fit into that kind of, but not really. Submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Folks, you want to be a leader wherever you're at? This principle that applies to God's leaders in his kingdom and in his church is the same thing. You see the best leader, one of the best leaders in a business, best leaders in politics, best leaders heading up a school system. They lead by examples. I'll give you an example. Lucas and Hannah got to go to Thorntown Elementary School System, and the principal retired, I think, the year after Lucas got done going through. So Hannah and Lucas had both of them all the way through first through sixth grade. Kindergarten, first, all the way through sixth grade. And I saw that guy mop floors in those soils. You were there 6, 7 years, Hannah, and Lucas was there 4 years after. So 4 and 7 is 11. Okay, just so you guys understand, I'm talking 11 years worth of watching this principle. Sweep the floors, clean up after kids and parents and people and teachers. I saw him doing dishes one time after an event for all the teachers. I saw him out there when the buses came and when the buses left. Not only have I seen that example in this principle, I worked in some other schools and another couple elementary schools throughout my tenure in construction, and I've seen other principals do the same thing. And how they lead by example. He didn't tell somebody else, go out there and watch the buses. Go over and help this person. They did it. They did it. Somebody needs help, they did it. Folks, I hope you recognize that the leaders of this congregation do that. Thank you, Brother Tom. Brother Brad, who's in Florida. You know, glorified swamp, as I call it, down there. Somebody's got to go down there. But folks, recognize what good leadership is. Submit yourselves to that. And I'll give you another thing that's tough to do, folks, and that's submit yourselves at work to bad leadership. Or maybe leadership you just don't agree with. Maybe it's not bad leadership. Maybe it's just a different way. There's many different ways to skin a cat. How many of you have skinned a cat before? None of us. I don't know why that saying's that way. Because none of us have tried that. But I'll give you a different analogy. There's a lot of different ways to pluck a chicken. Okay? A few of you in here have plucked a chicken before in your lifetime. And it's not a fun job necessarily. But folks, we got to submit. And that's a tough thing to do in our lives. But as Jesus is our supreme example, he submitted to the will of the Father. We talked about that a little bit this morning in Bible class. Following Jesus and what he does for us and his example by submitting. He had all power, all authority. He did what God wanted him to do. In a nutshell, he did what God wanted him to do. And that's what was best for him. And he knew that. And we need to do the same thing. Submit to what God wants us to do. Because that's best for us. Here's the problem we have, folks. If we think that something else is better for us outside than what God has planned for us, what? How many of us had kids do stuff that we don't, you know, how many of us as kids did things our parents said, don't do that? Yeah, I'm old enough, I can still remember. I'm young enough, I can still remember back when I made mistakes. Then my parents were like, no way. But for us to submit and remember and submit to one another. Well, I don't care what that brother thinks, or I don't care what that sister thinks, or I don't care if it offends them or not. Or I don't care if I hurt their feelings. Folks, that's not submitting. That's not submitting. That's letting Satan get in there. That's not resisting evil and Satan. That's embracing him. Those are character traits we need to recognize. See, Jesus wouldn't have been that way. No way in the world would have Jesus had them words come out of his mouth. And believing that he is who we need to be following by walking by faith. Our previous passage, walking by faith, following Jesus. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He cares for you. He wants to give you all that grace and all that power and all that glory that he has prescribed for you. But until we eliminate pride. Folks, and there's a difference between pride and confidence. Confidence is I'm following and walking by faith. Pride is I think I'm going to do things my own way. I think I can get away with this. Nobody knows but me. Don't fool yourself. Those are tools that Satan takes out of the toolbox. Sticks in our mind. We got an Old Testament passage or two this morning as part of our lesson. Then some of the 1 Chronicles 12, 16 through 18. Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold, and David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, "If you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment." Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, chief of the captains, and he said, "We are yours, O David. We are on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace to you and peace to your helpers. For your God helps you." So David received them and made them captains of the troop. You see what I got highlighted there, folks, out of that whole passage? David went through many struggles. He went through struggles with Saul, with Absalom, with his leaders. He went through struggles with sin, all those types of things. Being obedient to God, opening his heart up to God. These people come to David. David says, "Hey, you on God's side? You on my side? Whose side you on?" And they said, "We are on your side." Folks, look around this room this morning. We are on your side. And the minute we think, all those people there, all that preacher, oh, that person did this, oh, that Bible teacher did this, oh, this person said that, we forget that we are on your side. It's another thing Satan pulls out of his toolbox: divide. To divide. Jesus prayed for unity among those people that would follow him. Satan's toolbox uses division. And he don't divide us with an aisle. Satan doesn't divide us with this aisle. We got those on the right hand and those on the left hand of the preacher. He divides us in our hearts and our minds. Our warfare is not of this world. It's a spiritual warfare. We need to stand fast in our faith and recognize when Satan is tempting us with division. Don't ever forget, we are on your side. I need to never forget, you are on my side. David also commanded the leaders of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring back the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that was to be built for the name of the Lord." Obviously, you see the passage, parts of the passage I have in bold. Is not the Lord your God with you? Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore, arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God. Obviously, we know now that God abides in our hearts. And in order to invite him into your heart, in order to invite him to guide and direct you and to be following the Holy Spirit, folks, we've got to set our hearts and our souls to seek the Lord our God. In Romans chapter 8, we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. As we start a new week, let me ask you this. We want to be called? Do you want to have a purpose? Do you want to be confirmed? Do you want to be a predestined person, kingdom of heaven? Do you want to be justified? Do you want to be glorified? I hope we all say yes. And how do I continue to remember that and work towards those things and have those things helping me in my life? I got to remember that all things work together for good to those who love God. I got to remember God in my knowledge. That's another title of a lesson I got working up, but maybe I'll preach that tonight. I don't know. Maybe not. Not for sure what we're doing tonight. Which lesson we're going through. Folks, Satan wants us to forget that all things work together to the good for those who love God. Continuing in the same passage in Romans, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also makes intercession for us? If God is for us, who can be against us? It is God who justifies, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus does. Folks, to me, these are comforting passages. Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes and during the week, all the blessings I got, beyond measure, sometimes I feel like poor old me. Why I do that? I need to be gizzed right upside the back of the head. Kapow. Those of you who watched that show. God's holy word gives us me just like this. If God be for us, who can be against us? I answer to God. Do the right thing. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Be sober. Be vigilant. Rely on your faith daily. Remember, remember, remember when you make a mistake. Not to give up. Not to justify it, but repent of it. Because Jesus is there to intercede for us. Our last passage this morning in our lesson. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Folks, do we feel like that in our lives? We've been made, there's a neat song, I think ABB does it. We've been made more than conquerors by the blood of Jesus Christ. He cares for you. He doesn't want you to go through a day down and depressed. He doesn't want false excitement. Don't get me wrong. We are going to have ups and downs. There are things that disappoint us. Sometimes just as simple as drivers that somebody told me this morning are stupid. And we categorize that as somebody not following the law. But we need to be more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors, this passage says. Not just conquerors. There's a Gibbs moment for me. I'm just looking at this. We're more than conquerors. Because we are connected to Him. He cares for us. He cares for us. And you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. Because you've committed your lives to Jesus and obeyed the gospel, He cares for you more than He cares for the folks that have rejected Him. It doesn't mean He doesn't love them. It doesn't mean He doesn't care. Doesn't mean He doesn't have plans for them. But I'll use this analogy. You that have children, do you care for your children more than a neighbor's children? Do you care for your grandkids more than a neighbor's grandkids? Why? Similar. It's a similar understanding. Satan wants us not to believe that He cares for us, that He's part of our lives, that He has a plan for us, that He's working with us. He's working for us. He wants us to forget the miraculous thing of sin being forgiven. We talked about, you know, miracles and the miraculous things that transpire, and I'm thinking to myself, the way we use that word, you know, miracles, in order to help people understand miraculous gifts that happened years and years ago. But it's a miracle when somebody says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's miraculous. And when they're buried and raised again anew and their sins are forgiven. Only God can do that. He shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. And that's Satan. If we allow Him. We've got to stand fast in the faith. One of the ways we do that is gathering together in this fellowship. In closing this morning, folks, we need to remember this week, He cares for you. He cares for you. I need to remember, He cares for me. I know I say you, me, us. But the passage says He cares for you. Peter wrote, humble yourselves, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because you want to know why I couldn't pronounce that? Because I'm focusing on the last passage. Resisting. Folks, count how many times this week you coming up, you say no to Satan. And if you don't, you're in trouble. Spiritually. Because your mind is not on the things of the kingdom of heaven. Examine yourselves to see if you are in Christ Jesus. If you're following Him or not. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. What a great example Jesus was of how to be humble. To have all the power of the great Creator, but yet to be humble. What a great example for us. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God. Don't stop loving God. Even though times might be tough. For God is for us, who can be against us? God is far more powerful and has overcome Satan. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nobody. Nothing. We are more than conquerors through Him. More than conquerors through Him who loved us. I saw that happening upstairs, D.C., and you and I at the same time got it this morning. We are on your side. Folks, don't forget this fellowship. This fellowship. I love people at work. I love people at the racetrack. I love my neighbors. I love my family members that aren't faithful to God. You people are on my side. We are on each other's side. This is the fellowship of the kingdom of heaven. Is not the Lord your God with you? Yes, He says that. He promises that. He says that. He says that. He says that. Do we believe? And in closing, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God in everything you do and on a daily basis. If you have not set your heart and soul to do that, if you're not a child of God, had your sins washed away, as Jesus tells us to do, we offer that invitation this morning. If you have any other need that you want prayers of the congregation, we offer that time also this morning as we stand and sing the selected song.
Turning.